بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is so refreshing to be around my dear brothers and sisters, the young brothers and sisters here at the YMA on a Friday night. I would like to welcome all my friends, my brothers and sisters in this beautiful event we were having tonight, the celebration of the birth of our beloved Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. And I would like to congratulate you all for this beautiful event we're having. And I hope, may Allah bless us so we may know exactly who our leader is, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so we may appreciate his role in our life. I would like to dedicate the next 30 minutes to speak about the implications of his birth, the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. First of all, I have to mention that historians say Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was pregnant when the wife of the uncle of the Prophet, whose name is al-Fadl, and she was pregnant too. She came to the Prophet one day crying, and she said to the Prophet that, "I saw in my dream a very scary dream. I dreamed that a part of your body, a piece of your flesh, was thrown into my house. And I woke up so terrified to see this dream." And as she is telling the Prophet was smiling. And when she finished, the Prophet says, "Don't worry, al-Fadl. The interpretation of this dream is that my daughter Fatima will give birth to a beautiful child, and you will be nursing that child. So the interpretation of peace of my flesh being in your house is that I have a child in your house, and that child is my grandson, Hussein alayhi salam." And that how it was. When Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam gave birth to Imam Hussein, Fatima alayhi salam didn't have enough milk to nurse the child. So sometime al-Fadl, the wife of the Prophet's uncle, Abbas, she would take the child into her lap and she would nurse the baby, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a unique person in not only the Muslim history, but in the history of the humanity. According to many historians, they believe that there were only two children, as far as historians know, who survived birth after 6 months of their mother's pregnancy. In other words, their mothers were pregnant only for 6 months when they delivered the baby. Now, with the technology we have nowadays, a child can survive. But in the past, no child could have survived when he is born in 6 months. The reason, because the lungs of an infant is not equipped to take the pressure of the oxygen that you and I breathe. Therefore, the child would die immediately after his birth. Nowadays, if a child is born after 6 months pregnancy, they have to put the child in a special equipment or something in the hospital so the child can survive with the help of the medical support. In the past, the child would die immediately, or probably a few hours after his or her birth. Only two infants survived. And that was Yahya, John the Baptist, who was born for 6 months. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us his story in Surah Maryam, chapter Maryam. Allah starts with telling us the story of Yahya and his father, Zakaria. قَالَ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتْ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْنْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا قَالَ يَا زَكَرِيَّا إِنَّا نُبَشِّرُكَ بِغُلَامٍ اسْمُهُ يَحْيَى لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ سَمِيًّا قَالَ أَنَّى يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَامْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية يا يحيى خذ الكتاب بقوة وآتيناه الحكمة صبية. الله سبحانه وتعالى tells us when his father gets so frail and too old, he after seeing Maryam born, his heart, Zakaria's heart, longed for having a baby. And by the way, Zakaria adopted Maryam. When Maryam was born, a few people competed on which one would adopt Maryam. Since her mother dedicated her to the temple, that she would be raised in the temple, and that was the first precedent, that a female would be allowed into the temple, Zakaria won the adoption of that baby. And as he was seeing this baby, this child, this great child, Maryam, growing, his fatherhood instant were awakened. And he asked Allah one day in his sujood that may Allah give him a child, so this child can inherit him and can be his heir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did answer him. And when he received the revelation from Allah, that yes, Allah accepted your dua and you will have a child, he says, how? My wife is aqir. She cannot give birth to children. She cannot give birth anymore. She passed the age in which a female can give birth. Allah says to him, قَالَ كَذَلِكَ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنَ I made you. I made your wife. I made those laws. And I can break those laws whenever I want. I can make your woman, your wife, be pregnant, and that is not going to be a barrier for me. So the child was conceived, and Yahya was born, John the Baptist, who is a cousin to Jesus, alayhi salam, the second cousin to Jesus. That was the first one, and the second child who was born for 6 months, according to historians, was Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That's a miracle. That doesn't happen to everyone. And this is because Imam Hussein is the grandson of the Prophet. And there are many ramifications that we can draw from this birth, that Imam Hussein was born prematurely, before his time. That was a sign that this child will play a major role. As John the Baptist played a major role in the life of his ummah. And there is the second similarity between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and John the Baptist, is they were both martyred. John the Baptist was martyred by Herodot, the king, the Roman governor of Jerusalem, who killed John the Baptist. And the reason, because this man indulged himself and promiscuity, and when John the Baptist objected and protested and did his responsibility as far as enjoining good and forbidding evil, the man couldn't stand that. As most rulers and governors and tyrants cannot stand someone speaking the truth. So he decided to kill him by beheading him. John the Baptist was brought to the palace and he was beheaded. And It's a long story to make it short. One of a drop of his blood spilled on the floor, and it started to boil. By a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was boiling. They tried to remove any race, anything that reminds people of John the Baptist. This drop of blood continued to boil till Nabuchadnezzar came and conquered Jerusalem, and he killed many of the tyrant's aides in Jerusalem. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred, and he was shaheedu hadihi al-ummah. He is the martyr of this ummah, and he is Sayyid al-Shuhada, the master of Shuhada. And you know, today is a celebration. I don't want to take you to a very depressed situation. Rather, we have to celebrate. But the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it's mixed with depression and sadness and sorrow. From the first moment that he was born, and when he was brought, the infant was brought to his grandfather. And see, something special about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that makes him so distinguished from all other human beings. And that was, he was connected to revelation. He was constantly connected to revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispatches Jibreel to be descended on him, revealing something that many people are not aware of. So as he was having the child in his arm, on his arm, Jibreel came down. Qala ya Rasulullah, atuhibbuh? Do you love this baby? Qala, yes, of course I love him. Of course I love him. I feel he is piece of me. And I'm so attached to this baby. Then Jibreel brought the bad news, preparing the Prophet and the family of the Prophet for the great and a prominent role the Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going to play. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I have to tell you this, that this grandson of yours will be martyred in a land called Karbala. Walau shi't, if you want, I can show you now the land of Karbala. Now the Prophet is in Medina. Karbala is in Iraq. There is almost 2,000 miles distance from Medina to Karbala. But with a quick gesture from Jibreel, the Prophet was able to see the land of Karbala. Not only that, the Prophet was able to pick some soil, some sand from that land. Or probably it was Jibreel who grabbed some sand and gave it to the Prophet. So the Prophet was seen crying, and his wife was next to him, Salama, who asked him, قالت يا رسول الله, why are you crying? And she said, the Prophet told her the story. And of course, she broke into tears, and everybody was crying and weeping. Rasulullah made sure that the Fatima doesn't know, since she just gave birth to an infant. This may affect her health, but Fatima also soon found out about the story. So the first person who mourned Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who commemorated Imam Hussein while Imam Hussein was alive, it was his grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But back to the subject. Rasulullah was so excited to see. I can't tell you how much the Prophet loved Imam Hussein. And this is the beauty in the personality of the Prophet, that even though he was connected to revelation, the Prophet wasn't that emotional person who falls apart because of his emotion. He was a very strong man. He was a man who challenged his entire tribe. قَالَ يَا عَمْ لَوْ وَضَعُ الشَّمْسَ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرَ فِي شِمَالِي عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَتْرُكَ أَمْرَ هَذَا الدِّينِ مَا فَعَلْتْ. If they give me the entire world so I may abandon my mission, I'm not going to do that. إِلَّا أَنْ يُظْهِرَ اللَّهُ دِينَهُ أَوْ أَمُوتَ دُونَهُ. Unless Allah makes His religion the prevalent one, the faith of Allah prevails, or I die. He was so strong, with a very powerful will, that nobody could have broken that rule. There has been a day in Mecca in which that the Prophet had nobody at all supporting him. Imam Ali was asked to leave. He was out of town. The Prophet was alone in Mecca. And Meccans challenged the Prophet and they decided to kill the Prophet. Never at all the Prophet feared. At all. That did not affect the Prophet a bit. So the Prophet wasn't that weak emotional person with weak personality. But the beauty in the life of the Prophet that he was a very affectionate father. He was a human being. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. You know, many people, many ancient nations have this legendary perception of their leaders, that our leaders are supermen. They can break iron. They can fly. They can do something. Usually, nations exaggerate about their leaders. And some people try to do it to the Prophet. The Prophet told them, no, I'm a human being. I'm a human being. A man who came to see the Prophet, and he was terrified to see the Prophet. The glory of the Prophet took him, overwhelmed him. The Prophet qala la alayk. Don't worry, come to me, talk to me. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بْنُ إِمْرَأَةٍ كَانَتْ تَأْكُلُ الْقَدِيدِ فِي قُرَيْشِ. I am a son of an ordinary woman who lived her ordinary life in Quraysh, in Mecca. The Prophet exhibited the example of a Prophet who was connected to Allah, who was infallible, who never slipped once, but yet he was a human being. And that's the great thing about him, that he was a human being. He was filled with the same desires and urges that every human being is filled with. But he always stood above his urges and shortcomings. He had no shortcomings at all. And that's why he is infallible. But the Prophet sets the example of how a father can be so affectionate in a society that rarely appreciated affection. You know, Arabs were brought like native Indians. They were brought up in a society that forces a human being, especially men, to be very harsh. Not to cry before any tragedy. As a matter of fact, Arabs believe that a man crying is a big mistake. It is a sign of weakness. They despised men who used to cry. They thought that those are not men, those are women in the form of men. They don't deserve to be leaders. Therefore, any sign, any gesture, any affectionate gesture from a man would be taken mistakenly. And therefore, a father would not even kiss his son or his daughter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, one day he was holding Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein in his lap. In his arm, probably. And he was kissing Imam Hassan one time and Imam Hussein one time. A man sitting next to the Prophet, he says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has given me 10 children and I have never kissed them at all. He's bragging that he never kissed none of his kids. The Prophet looked at him, قَالَ مَا أَصْنَعُ بِكْ إِن نَزَعَ اللَّهُ الرَّحْمَةَ مِنْ قَلْبِكْ. What can I do to you if there is no place, no room for rahmah in your heart? You think this is bravery? This is courage that you're bragging about? This is not courage. This is a heart void of rahmah and mercy. Then he says, تَقْبِيلُكَ لِوَلَدِكَ رَحْمَةً. To kiss your child, to hug your child is a rahmah. This is a sign of mercy. And if you lack that, you must be, there's something wrong with you. Go and fix it. The Prophet was so affectionate that every day when he is going to the masjid, he comes to the house of Fatima and spends some time with Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. And one day Fatima al-Zahra says, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam came home and Hussein was crying in the morning, and the Prophet came afternoon, and he came to Fatima al-Zahra. He entered the house and he says, "Today when I was passing by your house, I heard Hussein was crying. Why was he crying? أَمَا عَلِمْتِ أَنَّ بُكَاءَهُ يُؤْذِينِي. When I went to the masjid, my mind was preoccupied by Hussein. Why was he crying? Don't you know that when Hussein cries, I lose patience, I lose focus? Don't let him cry. Not even for a second." And that's why Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam would rush to her baby, to Imam Hussein, not to make him cry when he cries, to comfort him, so the Prophet would not hear that voice, because the Prophet couldn't take with that heart that was able to challenge the entire world. The Prophet couldn't take the cries of Hussein alayhi salam, couldn't, because he was so affectionate and so attached to that child. And one companion of the Prophet, he says, one day I was walking with the Prophet, with a group of us, walking with the Prophet. We were going somewhere when we passed by an alley. And a bunch of kids were playing in the alley. And as soon as those kids saw the Prophet, they all dispersed. Except one of them stood, and that was Hussein alayhi salam. So he stood, he didn't go away. And the Prophet, as soon as the Prophet saw Hussein, he decided to go to him. When Hussein saw his grandfather was coming to him, he was playing out of, probably playing with the Prophet, he decided to run, and the Prophet started to chase him. He went right, the Prophet went right. He went left, the Prophet went left. Such a beautiful description that this companion of the Prophet offers. He says, the Prophet ran behind Hussein till he grabbed Hussein. He says, I was watching closely to see what the Prophet would do. He says, the Prophet, when he grabbed Hussein, he put one hand beneath his chin and one hand on his head. And he kissed him on his lips. And then قال, اللهم إني أحب حسينا. اللهم أحب من يحب حسينا. Oh Allah, you know how much I love Hussein. I ask you to love each person loves Hussein alayhi salam. That companion says, فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. I swear by Allah that there is no God but Him. أَصْبَحَ الْحُسَيْنُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ كُلِّ النَّاسِ. Ever since the Prophet said that, Hussein was the most beloved person to me, after I heard that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Why the Prophet was doing this? Why? My dear brothers and sisters, the reason the Prophet was doing this, he was teaching the Ummah, he was educating us. There are two ways to teach people. One way, you take the book, and you have a chart, or you have a board, and you give your theory on the board. You display, you demonstrate, or you illustrate your teachings through visual aid by drawing your thoughts on the board. That's one way. The other way, when you conduct yourself in a certain way, you're given an implicit lesson to your followers. You're showing them the way by practicing that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, instead of talking and lecturing about who Hussein is, the Prophet was showing his ummah who Imam Hussein is by treating Imam Hussein in such unique way. There is a hadith Al-Allama Al-Majlisi mentions in his book. And in this hadith, Al-Allama Al-Majlisi mentions name of an angel, and that angel known as Futras. He says that Futras was sent The riwayah, the hadith was narrated by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, Futrus was sent by Allah in a task. And it seems that he hesitated to do his task sufficiently. He paused. And instead of doing it in that period of time set for him, he was delayed. And as a punishment, and you know, there is rankings among the angels themselves. So a higher angel can be in charge of other angels. That angel, Futrus, because of the delay he exhibited, he was sentenced to stay on earth for a while, in one island, some of those islands. And then his wings were broken. His feathers were falling and serving his sentence. Angel Jibreel was coming down the day that Imam Hussein was born. Malaika, angels of Allah, were coming down, descending to offer their congratulations to the Prophet. And while Angel Jibreel was flying back, he passed by Futrus. And Futrus inquired, what's going on today? Angels of Allah are coming down by thousands. And I can see them. What's going on? What happened today? Jibreel tells him that the Prophet of Allah has a son today. Allah had gifted him with a son and we came to congratulate him. Futrus asked Jibreel to take him to the Prophet. He came to the Prophet as Futrus was offering his congratulations to the Prophet. Jibreel asked Futrus, he says, you go to the cradle of the infant and you stick to the cradle and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the glory of this child to forgive you. Futrus came and he put his hand on the cradle of that infant, Hussein alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him and allowed him to restore his wings. And finally he was able to go back to his flock. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is known in the sky, in heavens, more than he is known but on earth. My dear brothers and sisters, I am not here to exaggerate about Imam Hussein. But that's the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created heavens and earth and this universe for those five individuals. Muhammadin wa Aliyin wa Fatima wal Hassan wal Hussein. In one of the dua we make, sometimes we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni law alimt shufa'an ahabba ilayka min Muhammadin wa Aliyin وَفَاطِمَ وَالْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنِ لَتَقَرَّبْتُ بِهِمْ إِلَيْكَ. If I know any other people other than those five individuals are more closer to you, I would have used their names to keep myself close to you. But I haven't found any. Those are the five beloved individuals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, another hadith narrated by Al-Allama Al-Majlisi. This great scholar has a book, Buhar Al-Anwar, 110 volumes. Great book. The history of Islam is included in this book. Al-Allama Al-Majlisi says, one day, Imam Hassan and Hussein were children. They had a contest. Whose writing is more beautiful? So Imam Hussein wrote something, and Imam Hassan wrote something. They were probably 5 or 6. And they came to their mother to be the referral. She would decide which one has the most beautiful handwriting. Fatima al-Zahra looked at the handwritings of Imam Hussein, and at the handwriting of Imam Hassan. And she said, it's both beautiful, but I really cannot make the decision. So you go to your father. You go to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He will make the decision. She couldn't take that burden. She is a mother. She doesn't have the heart to say to Hassan, it is yours. You have the best handwriting. Because she doesn't want to break the heart of his brother. Nor she can do this to Hussein and break the heart of Hussein alayhi salam. So she said, go to your father. So both brothers came to their father, Imam Ali. Two beautiful children. They came to Imam Ali. Again, they showed Imam Ali, their father, their handwriting. And Imam Ali alayhi salam loves them both. He cannot do that. So he says, you know, both of you have a beautiful handwritings. I send you to your grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Let him make the decision. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks. And again, he is put in a spot. You know, it's very difficult for Rasulullah to say to Hassan, it is your handwriting. And it breaks the heart of Hussein. Or vice versa. He couldn't do that. It's very difficult. Who would dare, who on earth dares to break the heart of either Hassan or Hussein? That's a very difficult task for anybody, let alone the Prophet or their mother or Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says to Imam Hussein and to Imam Hassan, you both have beautiful handwritings, but I really can't make the decision. You go to your mother, Fatima al-Zahra. Now again, Fatima al-Zahra has to make the decision. They came to her, and Fatima al-Zahra was wearing a necklace with something like the one that the sister has. Not like a misbaha, but similar to the misbah. I'm sorry? Yes. Not real, probably. So she took that necklace, and she ripped it. And she threw those pieces on the floor. And she said, whoever takes more, he will be the one with beautiful handwritings. And as those pieces were rolling on the floor, Imam Hassan grabbed 5. Imam Hussein grabbed 5. And there is one only. Now, Imam Hassan alayhi salam reached. He's the older one. So he reached to that final piece to grab it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, when Imam Hassan's hand was so close to grab that final piece, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Jibreel, go immediately now and he grab that before Hassan takes it. Then the heart of Hussein will be broken. The heart of Hussein will be broken. Go and grab it before he takes it. Jibreel grabs that piece before Imam Hassan's hand reaches it. My dear brothers and sisters, today is the, and I didn't really mean to make you saddened, but as I said earlier, the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his mission, his destiny, his role, his legacy, it was all about martyrdom and sacrifice. And he says, Imam Hussein says, أنا قتيل العبرة. I'm the martyr of the tears. ما ذكرت عند مؤمن ولا مؤمنة إلا وبكيا. Every time my name is mentioned before male believers or female believers, they cry. This is something that we can't help. It happens spontaneously every time the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his name is mentioned. You feel your heart is broken. Adam, when he was expelled from heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says in the Quran, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam asma. He asked him, Allah asked Adam to offer his supplication with the name of the five, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would relieve him from his pain and grief that he was suffering after being expelled from heaven. So he took those five names. And Adam says, إلهي ما لي كلما ذكرت الخامس منهم انكسر قلبي. Why every time I mention the fifth one, every time I mention his name, I feel my heart is broken. Why is that? What's about this fifth one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Adam that Adam, you must be there to see him, to see your own grandson Hussein in the land of Karbala, in that desert. And thousands of people are facing him, ready to slaughter him. He is carrying his baby before them, appealing to them to give some water to his baby, and they wouldn't. You should be there to see Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I think I'm done with my presentation, my dear brothers and sisters. I will give 10 minutes for a Q&A, because a brother today mentioned to me, reminded me that some of our friends, our brothers and sisters, like to have Q&A session every Friday night after we're done with the presentation. Not a long one, for probably 10 minutes. So, if you have any question, my dear brothers and sisters, I encourage you to go ahead, whether it is related to the same subject or any other Islamic subject, I will be glad to answer. Now, the brother is asking about the personality of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, according to Quran, he was sent as a prophet since young age. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. He was probably 7 or 8, as historians and commentators on Quran say. He was 7 or 8 when he became a prophet. He was also contemporary to Jesus alayhi salam. He lived the same time that Jesus lived. But I think he was martyred before Jesus was ascended to heaven. What was his role? His role, he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to understand that we have prophets and we have messengers. Each messenger of Allah is a prophet. All messengers are a prophet. But not all prophets are messengers. Yahya was a prophet, but he wasn't a messenger. Unlike Jesus, who was a messenger and a prophet. What's the difference between the two? The difference between the two, a messenger receives, in addition to revelation, in addition of being connected to Allah through revelation, he has a message to deliver. And religion, like Jesus, Moses, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. Now, the Prophet John the Baptist, he was a prophet. And his mission, and the mission of all other prophets in Jerusalem, was to enforce the message brought to them by Jesus alayhi salam, and when by Moses alayhi salam. And when Jesus was sent as a prophet, he was there to support Jesus alayhi salam. So he did support Jesus. About the baptizing, I really don't have much information on that. I don't know. And I'm not sure where this tradition of baptizing kids is it in the Catholic Church or in all churches? Does anybody have any insight on that? Yes, Sylvia. Yes, Sister Zen. Okay. Okay. Well, the Catholic do the baptization of the child once the child is an infant, right? Okay. Others, what about others? And do all other churches baptize their followers, their, not all of them? I see. So I really don't have information, valid information on that. Therefore, I cannot speak about the tradition of baptizing the kids. Yes, Sister Nadia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Absolutely. 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 We believe that all prophets of Allah, or the messengers of Allah, let's say, were aware of Ahlul Bayt. They were aware of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his advent. And as a matter of fact, all the prophets of Allah, they all spoke to their people about Prophet Muhammad. And they gave the good tidings about a prophet who will appear in the sometime in the end of this world. So all the prophets of Allah did tell their people about the prophet. Now, why don't we find much information about him in the current Bible, on the current Torah? We Muslims believe that the current Bible, of course, with due respect to the Bible and Torah, we believe that this is not as authentic as it was revealed to Moses and Jesus. Otherwise, we have documents indicate that in the original copies of Torah, transcript of Torah and Bible, the name of the prophet was mentioned. But for some reasons, later on, the name of the prophet was removed from the current Bible and Torah. And yes, we believe that all the prophets of Allah were aware of the prophet and his family. Yes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What events? You mean the events between the prophet? Okay. The prophet had thousands of companions, as well as his progeny. And each one of his companions and his progeny members served as eyewitnesses. So each one of them did tell his own story, the way he saw it or she saw it. And afterward, there were people who were specialized in recording events at the time of the Prophet and afterward. So those stories were kept and passed on from a generation to the second one, the third one, till we received them. So we have books that go back to early years of the Prophet. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam used to record many of the events he witnessed or a hadith he heard from the book, from the Prophet, in a book, Kitabu Ali, the book of Ali. Mus'haf Fatima, for example, that some of our brothers in Islam misinterpret that as if we believe that there was another Quran. No, that's not the case. Mus'haf Fatima was a book in which Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, beneath each ayah, would write the interpretation of that ayah the way she heard it from her father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then that book was passed on to Imam Hassan, to Imam Hussein, and to the Imams. And we heard from our Imams, through their companions, the story of that book. So there were always narrators. Always there were narrators who documented the events that they witnessed and they encountered, and now we have them in books. And one of the books that you can go and read about the history of Islam is the book I just mentioned, Bihar al-Anwar. Actually, there are hundreds of books that are specialized in the history of Islam. But I would like to go back to the question Sister Nadia posed, just really quick. When Imam Hassan was born, there was a dilemma, how to name him, how to name Imam Hassan. And of course, the Imam Ali wouldn't do anything before he asked the Prophet. So he came to the Prophet and he asked the Prophet to name Imam Hassan. Imam Hussein asked Jibreel, "What shall I name Hassan?" And Jibreel asked Allah. Allah sent him, "Qala ya Muhammad, sammihi bima samma bihi wasiyyu Musa Yusha abna'ah." He asked the Prophet to name him with the exact name, the successor of Moses. Who's the successor of Moses? Yusha, Joshua. The same name Joshua named his two sons. قَالَ وَمَا هُمَا. What did he name his kids? قَالَ شُبَّر وَشَبِير. He says, he named them, the first one Shubbar, and the second one Shabir. So, the Imam, the Prophet, asked Moses to interpret, he asked Jibreel to interpret those names to Arabic. He says, Shubbar becomes in Arabic Hassan. And Shubair means Hussein. So Imam Hassan was named that day Hassan. And when Imam Hussein was born, automatically they knew what to name him. That was Hussein. The name of the son of Musa's successor, Joshua. Why? Why Musa's successor? Wasn't that a message to Muslims that Ali is the successor of the Prophet? As Joshua was the successor of Musa alayhi salam, Imam Ali should be the successor of the Prophet. And therefore, Imam Ali would name his sons with the same names Joshua named his sons with. That was very clear, I think. See, that's when I said that even by naming, when the Prophet was naming those children, he had certain, there were certain implications that we have to draw. That the Prophet was always enforcing the role to be imams of this ummah. I'm sorry, Hajjah Fatin, you had another question? Well, that goes back to the biography of the narrators. In other words, as scholars, we have to study the life of those narrators and find out who is the most authentic narrators. So when there are two stories that are conflicting with each other, the way we do it, we take the story of the one that is most trusted and most authentic, and we relinquish the other one that is not so authentic. That's the one of the criteria for selecting a story when it conflicts with another story. To look and search for the authenticity of the narrator himself. How trusted and how trustworthy he is. And that's one of the solutions that scholars offer. My dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.